After Grant left, Union officers descended on the brick house to buy souvenirs from what they all realized was a historic meeting. Sharp paid the McLean family $10 for a pair of brass candlesticks. He also remained at Appomattox to implement one part of the surrender terms. Grant put him in charge of compiling lists of Confederate officers and enlisted men and giving them paroles. Sharp had not planned to issue Lee a parole, but the rebel commander asked to be given one as well. So Sharp penned one for him and six members of his staff. Lee and his senior officers, the spymaster wrote, surrendered to the Union Army and swore they will not hereafter serve in the armies of the Confederate States or in any military capacity whatever against the United States of America. Lee and his aides would not be disturbed by U.S. authorities so long as they observe their parole. The rebel commander's parole request might be interpreted as a noble gesture to be treated just like his men. More likely, Lee wanted to save his skin. Grant had been magnanimous at the McLean house, but others did not feel so kindly toward the rebel commander. His generalship was admired by both sides, but it had led tens of thousands of young men, Union and Confederate, to their deaths, defending a repulsive slave system. Many radical Republicans in Northern newspapers wanted him arrested. Navy Secretary Wells considered Lee a traitor to his country, who might lead a guerrilla movement after the war. Davis was roundly denounced in Northern papers as an arch traitor who should be hung. Lee was considered no different. Some Grant aides thought Lee was criminally derelict when he fled Richmond with his army, leaving its miserable wretches in burning chaos, and they were not impressed with the duplicity they thought Lee showed the day before his surrender when he toyed with Grant about giving up and then continued fighting for another day. When Lee finally agreed to capitulate on April 9th, Sheridan still believed it might be a ruse so the Southern commander could escape once more. Weeks later, senior Union officers remained nervous that Lee and his staff continued to hang around Richmond. The Federals wanted them dispersed, so they would be less able to stir up discontent among Southerners who did not want the war to end. Lee found the parole Sharp signed for him particularly valuable in June, when a grand jury in Norfolk indicted him for treason. He waived the paper, arguing that it protected him from prosecution. Grant agreed and got the indictment quashed.